Hi, this is your host, Lori Moylove. We're on Limitless Season 5, and this season, we're dreaming bigger. And if you're interested, you're creative, remember to like, listen, follow, share, all that good stuff. Today, we have Janelle Grayson, who's amazing creative. Not only has she, like, her work has been seen by millions, like, I can just even think of, like, the Macy's Parade just recently, and also Dancing with the Stars, and you're a music contractor. Just an all-around creative. You juggle a lot of hats. You even just before jumping on, we're talking about working with a creative on their release party. I guess, Janelle, like, can you give us, like, what's one thing, like, that you're really dreaming bigger this year? Because you've done almost everything I can think of, like award shows, everything. I guess where do you see yourself going in your expansion this year?
Well, thank you, and thank you, Love, for inviting me to be on and to speak about my experiences. I'm usually behind the camera,
yeah,
which is why I might be a little awkward here on camera because I'm usually behind the scenes. I very much pride myself working in service of an art and in service of the art itself. How do we best tell the story that the production or the TV show or the artist or the musician is trying to tell? What can I do to support and uplift that? What can I do to make sure that all of the pieces are in place so they can just focus on being an artist? What can I do to make sure that they don't have to think about anything else instead of except for showing up to be a creative? So being in front of the camera is a little awkward for me.
Well, you're doing amazing already. Like, and honestly, like, some of your journey, I just think is beyond inspiring, and I think could inspire some of our listeners and creatives that maybe, you know, some of them might be starting out. And I know, like, you kind of how your discovery process was, because kind of how you ended up with Ray Chu and, like, doing, you know, being involved with music. Like, I mean, you started at IBM. Can you share kind of like your story and how, like, that even got started?
I can. I love telling the story, and I'm glad you framed it in that way, because it should be an inspiration to others that at any point you can pivot.
Yeah.
At any point you can pivot and you can decide. Now, what I knew for sure as a kid growing up and even as an early adult is that I love music. Full stop. What I enjoyed was seeing the different creative expressions for music and seeing the different platforms. I enjoyed radio as much as playing a CD, as much as making a mixtape myself, as much as watching an award show and seeing many different types of music. I enjoyed watching films where I could hear the score being a different character. Like, I knew that I enjoyed how music is consumed in different areas and how it's created. I just knew that I wasn't a creator. I never picked up an instrument. I don't know how to sing. I will sing. Oh, I will. I will pick up a microphone. Should I? But I will do it. Don't play an instrument. Can't write music. Don't tell nobody.
Wait, what? I couldn't even hear it.
Don't tell nobody that I can't read music.
That's getting blasted into the ether. I'm sorry.
But I knew that there were people. I read the liner notes, right? I read the credits at the end of a film, at the end of a TV show. I knew that there were people who provided the infrastructure for the creatives to do what they did. And so yeah. I just never knew how to break into that. There was nothing in high school that said, you know, work behind the scenes as everybody wanted to be an artist or a producer or whatever, whatever. And I couldn't do any of that. And I would write reviews. I would write my own reviews. I was published in, back then, Double X magazine. I remember reviewing Eminem's album and they put
me
in.
That's amazing.
So I was a fan as I worked. And after I left college, I worked at IBM. because my godmother was the vice president at IBM and she tricked me. She submitted my resume. I was like, I don't want to work for IBM. And she was like, you need a job. I was like, I don't want that. Anyway, she tricked me and I ended up working at IBM. And that's where I met my now boss's sister. And when I first started at IBM, she said, listen, you'll get real comfortable here real fast. What do you really want to do? And figure out what you really want to do, because you'll get comfortable. You're great at what you do here. I was in communication, internal communication. And she said, but figure out what you really want to do in life. And I was like, oh, whatever, lady. They're paying me. I have a corporate car. I have my own parking lot. I have an office. I shared with somebody. But still, I was doing things at 23. I was doing pretty well.
Yeah.
And so that was the summer I started working at IBM. And then the following year in 2001, Aaliyah died at the end of August. And then a little over a week later, September 11th. Mm-hmm. Aaliyah, who was a year younger than me, tragic plane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that.
September 11th. Know what that
was. Yeah.
That translated to me that life is short. Me, could go anytime. I better do what I really want to do.
Yeah.
I better get in the business of doing what I really want to do with my life.
Mm-hmm.
What is feeding myself? IBM was real cool. Love the people there. And best friend with my then boss to this day.
Like, oh, that's amazing.
But I knew that wasn't feeding my soul. So I told him I wanted to, I called my now boss's sister and I said, hey, remember when you was trying to tell me that I really need to figure out, what I want to do or don't get too comfortable? Tell me more. and we just talked and she said, well, what are your goals? What do you want to do? And I gave her kind of a similar spiel that I just opened with. She said, oh, you should meet my sister-in-law. It wasn't her brother that she wanted me to meet at first. It was her brother's wife, Vivian.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started with Chu Entertainment, which I'm still with, from January of 2002 to now today.
Wow.
February of 2026. So y'all do the math. So when I first started with Chu Entertainment, my introduction was to Vivian Scott Chu, who was a marketing executive from Sony. And her claim to fame was bringing dancehall to the U.S. in the form of Shabba Ranks and Afro. And she understood the value in international market for artists. And that's where Ray's sister at IBM, who I worked with, she saw us connect. And we did. Vivian and I connected, and I helped with, I'll get to that. But so that was my first entry into meeting someone who I could identify with, because she was an executive, not a creative. And she had been making moves. And I was like, I get it. Yeah. And so I took an interview with her, and I was like, oh, I got to work for this company. And everybody, before I left IBM, was crazy. My family thought I was crazy. Like, you're going to leave a blue chip company to go work for a small business? And I said, yes, I'm going to leave a Fortune 500 company to go work for a small black owned business. And everybody's going to be just fine, including me.
Right.
And it's the best decision I ever made.
Definitely.
Because 20 some odd years later, I'm still there. They are one of the very few Black-owned entertainment companies in this business still doing what they do. We just had a sold-out event in Detroit, which is Detroit Opera House with George Clinton.
Amazing.
I can't even tell you yet about the stuff that's coming up this summer that Disney has cooked up, but I'm a employee pay every other week for 20 some odd years, and they employ several people, yeah. Very loyal, very, so it's one in it, and that I was able to grow in this business and learn in this business. This is when I transitioned from IBM and went, I took a pay cut, you know, mm-hmm. at first, but I wasn't in that. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because the money wasn't the factor.
Yeah.
Doing, waking up and getting to sweat.
Yeah.
Getting to be a part of the creative process. That's what I want.
Exactly.
IBM was cool and I was able to do my thing in communications and it taught me a lot. But looking forward to solving a puzzle, looking forward to figuring out how this routing system is going to go through Europe, making a tour book, making a, you know, just doing things and support artists and musicians, and then later going on to work primarily with Ray and what he was doing in the at Showtime at the Apollo, and in the live music arena. That's when I started kind of, after about 2 or 3 years in, I shifted to full-time working with Brett because of what he was doing in live music and in television. And that's what, how I learned how to, he said, hey, join the union. I was like, the union, I'm not a musician. He said, join the union.
Yeah.
You'll be fine. Join the union.
Right?
So he told me to pay the dues, join the union, so I could be a contractor. Mm-hmm. And I said, awful with numbers. He said, you'll figure that.
Yeah.
Right? I'm awful with numbers, but Excel is my friend.
Yeah.
And I make it work. And so that's how, you know, I was able to carve an identity for myself in this business and see myself. I first saw myself in Vivian, and then I saw how I could support Ray, and it's been... it's been uphill ever since. Not uphill. What am I trying to say? It's that we've been rolling ever since.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, up. Well, uphill in the sense of doing what you love, right? Going up, up, and away.
Yes.
And speaking of dreams and dreaming bigger and like how we're expanding, like this season, it's really about the dreams. And I know like you've been chasing your dream and actually living it. And you're like living proof, like, for some of our listeners that maybe are like, what should I do? I'm not sure. You're kind of living proof that you just like jumped in, just like you're saying, like with your parents kind of saying, oh no, you're leaving this blue chip company.
Family thought I had lost my mind.
Yeah. So it's like, you're kind of like the living proof for some of our dreamers that like, you know, just keep dreaming and dream bigger and all that. And it will all kind of get figured out. That's kind of how we ran into each other was when working at Jesse Collins, that's how we met. Shout out to Jesse Collins and Dion, you know, we got to give love to all the amazing.
And Janae. Yeah, I remember I was to Ray what Janae was to Jeff when we started at BET. And then just to see her elevate and, you know, her producer in her own right now. I'm like,
right.
Always so cool. Proud.
Right. Mm-hmm. The evolution of us like as creatives to get to support each other in this community and like keep growing and expanding, I guess. Because we're all about creatives and creativity, I kind of do this fun little trivia thing. And then at the end, I'm going to ask you like what your one word is. So I'll let you have some time. This one's just going to be rapid fire. So we're going to be dreaming big here. So, okay. Is it early call time or late loadout?
My preference?
Yeah.
Early call time.
Okay. Tour bus or 5-star hotel?
5-star hotel.
Right? I was like,
5-star.
5. That's it. And then artists you drop everything for?
Somebody has asked me that before. A current artist or an up and coming artist?
Yeah, either or.
Okay, I have an up-and-coming artist that I've been, well, that it's been in the business, but not as an independent artist that I've been working with that I probably would drop everything for because I just believe in the vision and I believe in her artistry, Amber Sawyer, coming out with a project.
Oh, I love her. She's awesome.
Yeah, she's coming out with her debut project, her full project, because she's been releasing singles. She's coming out with her debut project in April. Awesome. And some of the ways and the synergies that she's blending new media, like vertical shorts and storytelling, and the just the authenticity in her voice, I think it's going to make a really big impact. And I'm excited to see what she does. So
I think that
the wave of the independent artists, and Duran, you know, was proof positive of that at this year's Grammys. 2026, and I've been saying this in my stories, I know you've been seeing it, 2026 is the year of the independent artists. And I just think that that's the wave of the future. That's what's happening. I mean, Ray is dropping his project.
Wow,
I don't know if it's going to be this year or next year. But Ray is dropping a project. I've been in his ear about a project for years. I was like, hey, man, when are you going to do a project? When you can, you know, produce your own stuff and have your own guest artists and, you know, do stuff like that. So I'm really excited about what he's working on.
Okay, what about headliner energy or opener hunger?
Opener hunger all day.
Okay.
Opener hunger all day, because it's that opener that's gonna break through and see, and that's what keeps the blood flowing. That's why I'm so excited about Amber's project. She, although she's been in the industry as a, you know, a hired gun, she would say, her voice, her creativity as an independent artist, it's the hunger, it's the innovation, it's what gives us the Durans, it's what gives us the Chapel Rooms, it's what gives us the Olivia D, you know, opening act energy.
Yeah. And then what about a city that never disappoints?
New York. I love New York. I love New York. DC is a close second for different reasons. DC has the polarism of DC that is just the polarization of DC that is so remarkable. You can stand on one street and it's beautiful, and look down the street and see complete poverty. And that's not something to celebrate. It's just how interesting that dichotomy is in just one area. But New York, I mean, New York.
Yeah. New York's fun. What about, a playlist vibe right now? Hype or chill?
Chill.
Chill, yeah.
I mean, no more hype. I'm hype enough.
Chill. Okay, what about one thing you must have to survive a tour?
Water. This water.
That's true.
Specifically.
Water.
High pH.
Yeah, I agree. High pH. I kind of need some high pH water right now, too. And I ask each of my guests, you know, Janelle, like, what is what, like, one word that connects you to creativity and dreaming bigger? What would that one word be for you?
Zoom out. Because what I have been able to do is zoom out and kind of see. A creative is often right in front of, okay, what are we doing? What story am I telling right here now? What do I need to do? You know, especially with the logistics of getting from point A to B, and et cetera, et cetera. Zoom out. What does it look like for you in 5 years? What are we setting up? You know, I'll give you an example. 2 years ago, well, it's been on my spirit for the longest time, but trying to get Ray Chu an Emmy.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So like a few years ago.
We're dreaming bigger.
I said, Ray, you need to join the Television Academy. And, and we've been, you know, inching our way up. This year specifically, I ratcheted up his social media presence. I asked if we could bring somebody on to do different band POV shots for Dancing with the Stars. So that's why you've seen on his page, we have somebody who actually captures from different points of view. So she can put together the point of view of Ray and the band and singers and the musicians, so we can tell this story. And with that zooming out, and what are we going to be able to do to use Ray's work, beat this drum and tell this story to the Television Academy voters that this work that musicians do in
is amazing.
It's week in and week out.
Yeah.
They're creating a record a week.
Yeah. It's amazing what they do.
Love.
Yeah.
How long does it take to make a record?
It could take like years.
And so, that's from and scratch.
Every week. Yeah.
That's creating
amazing.
A record from scratch. They have to, as Bray says, unbake the cake of each and every song, 13 songs a week, figure out how it got to sound like that. The singers have to get as close to the character and the voice as possible.
Yeah.
The musicians have to do the sound, everything. It has to sound exactly like the record a week, one a week.
Yeah. What they do is pure magic on Dancing with the Stars. And that's why you're dreaming with the stars. That's what I'm talking about. Dreaming and dreaming bigger. And where can some of our listeners, you know, they're all over the globe here. Where can they come and follow you or find out more and connect?
At Chart Fairy. C-H-A-R-T.
Okay. Yeah, just Chart Fairy dust them with all
at
those
Chart
dreams.
Fairy.
Right?
Come. I'm getting better about posting. I've just learned about TikTok. TikTok is the future in the wave. Mm-hmm. And the creativity there with, you know, you heard about Romeo with this, with the Dr. Pepper jingle. I mean, come on. That is how you galvanize an audience, but that's where the people are next. The people, that's where the focus is in their screens. That's why vertical shorts is so important. Mm-hmm. That's why social media is, it was the Wild Wild West for a while, but I know that people have kind of figured it out. And they're using it as a tool to build their audiences, to your point, around the world, around the globe, not just local anymore. So the creativity that I've seen on TikTok is so inspiring. So I'm doing better on posting on TikTok. So follow me at Chart Fairy on TikTok and on Instagram.
Awesome.
And shout out to ADHD.
Right? Shout out.
Because that little, you know, neurodivergence in our brain is what helps us do all the things and zoom out and manage the files and be able to deal with the different personalities we have to deal with.
You know, so we're going to be zooming out on our big dreams and dreaming bigger. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing of your gems.
Thank you. Can we talk and shout out to you for 5 years on this?
Yeah.
Shout out to you and all the amazing things that you do.
We appreciate our Limitless listeners. Join the Limitless tribe. Like, subscribe, share the episodes. Keep dreaming bigger.